Okay, we're holding Sefer Melach in the third chapter. We had just learned how Shlomo had executed his Rebbe Shimi ben Gera. And directly following that, Shlomo marries Pharaoh's daughter, which is going to be one of the major causes for his downfall. And our sages say that so long as Shimi was around, Shlomo wouldn't marry her. For that reason, our sages say one should try to live in close vicinity of one's Rebbe, because if one's Rebbe is, so to speak, looking over one's shoulder, one behaves better. Even if it's a Rebbe like Shimi, who Shlomo was on his way to kill him, to put him to death for 3 years. You see that even so, Shlomo held himself subservient to his Rebbe. As long as his Rebbe was around, he didn't have the affront to marry Paro's daughter. And now he marries her, and we're going to see that she did one over on him. More, she did a few over on him. Now, Shlomo, he's 12. We don't know exactly what age he is now. If he's 15, how should be about 15. And he's going to build the temple. We're going to learn about that next week. But the pasuk keeps stressing that he hasn't yet built the temple. And we see here that the pasuk seems to hold him to task for that. That it took him from age 12 to 16 to get around to starting to build the temple. So we see that even when we do something right, Hashem often will look at us and say, hey, wait a second, why didn't you do it earlier? Shlomo should have done it, I guess, at age 12, 13, 14, 15, before he hit 16. Shlomo goes to Givon. And Givon is the center of worship. That's the place where the Jews are serving Hashem, for lack of a Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo has a dream, and God asks him, what do you want? And Shlomo says, you know, you did great kindness with my father David, he kept the Torah, and you maintained chesed for him, that you gave him a son sitting on the throne today. And now, my main job as king is to judge the people righteously, and it's a difficult task, so help me out. I want you to give me understanding, so I could be a good king for the people.
Yeah. He said, I want wisdom.
And God said, being that you didn't ask for a long life, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask to conquer your enemies, what you asked for? You asked for understanding, for wisdom, to be able to judge the people well. I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you everything else with it. The Midrash says, there was once a king who really liked his officer. And he said to the officer, tell me, what do you want? You want wealth? You want jewels? You want gems? What do you want? So the officer, right, very good.
Because if he will have his daughter, as in our case, the Torah, he will have the wealth, long life, enemies will fall before him, as the Torah says.
Very good, very good. That's
and what everybody would, the enemy would be, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, they would be like afraid of such a king.
So that's what the Midrash says, that Shlomo was like that officer, that instead of asking for all the external things, he asked for the one thing that will grant him all these. He asked for the king's daughter. When Rav Avadia Yosef was in Spain visiting the Spanish king, so the king liked stories. So at one point in the conversation, Rav Avadia Yosef told him this story about the king that offers his officer what he wants.
Rav Avadia Yosef?
Yeah.
In Spanish? In Spain?
In Spain, I guess the translator translated. I don't know.
Recently?
I don't know. He quoted this in the Shir once. I don't know when this was. He's alive, yeah. So this story must have happened when he was chief rabbi. So I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
What's the story?
When he was in Spain, he quoted the story of a king who offers his officer, what do you want? And the officer says, I want your daughter's hand in marriage. I don't want any of the wealth you offer me, anything else. I want your daughter. And this is a parable.
A king is the good, right?
Some king, it's a parable. So by attaining the king's daughter, he attains all the wealth, he attains everything else the king would have offered him. And the Spanish king liked the story so much that ordinarily when a visitor leaves, so he tells him goodbye, and the visitor leaves, and Rav Avadia Yosef, he walked him all the way out to the car and stood there and waved until the car went off. So that mashal said about this, that Shlomo asked for the king's daughter, he asked for wisdom. And in attaining wisdom, he would have everything else that came with it. But God gives him a condition. He says, you keep the mitzvahs like your father did, and then you'll have a long time on this kingdom. Shlomo awakens and he recognizes it's a dream, and he brings many sacrifices and thanks to Hashem for getting this gift. Now, he recognized he got this gift the second he awoke, when he heard the birds chirping and he could understand it. He heard the animals speaking, he could understand them. He looked at the land and he knew which tree should be planted in which area of the land. God gave him amazing wisdom. He was able to see where the land has veins through which it nourishes itself. And if you know where to plant along those veins, so you know which tree needs which vein, so to speak, which root, which path within the... Just like the Chinese say there are meridians in the body, meridians of strength that go through the body, so too there are meridians, lines that go through the earth. You have to know which tree to plant. Where in Shlomo knew that? He could taste and smell the soil, as knew the people in the beginning of time in Bereshit. They also knew this wisdom, and they had to tell which tree could be planted where. Yeah?
One of the things in my understanding is that he was granted it, not necessarily because he asked for wisdom, but specifically it wasn't for his own sake. It was for the sake of the people. It was a very humble request. This being the reason he was actually given.
Yeah. That's what it seems.
Humility as well as everything else.
Okay. And then this, yeah.
What age did he ask for this?
16. Well, it doesn't say when this whole thing happened, whether it happened when he was 12 or 16. We move forward to 16, and we said he married Paro's daughter. And then the Navi tells us this story. Whether this story happened now, which is when he is 16, or it happened in the beginning of his kingdom when he was 12, I don't know. So he is a young king, and two women come before him. And one woman says, and we'll call her Mrs. A., she says, me and we'll give them names. We'll call one Mary, and we'll call the other one
Beth.
What?
I said Beth.
We'll call the other one
Miriam A and Miriam B. That's it.
We'll call her Miriam, Mary, and we'll call her Charlotte. So Mary comes before the king. And these two women are prostitutes, and she says, me and Charlotte live in one house, no one else is around. Now on Tuesday, I gave birth to a baby 3 days ago, and then on the third day, Charlotte also gave birth to a baby, and we're alone in the house, only us. And in the middle of the night, Charlotte must have laid down on our baby, and she got up in the middle of the night, she took my baby from me. My baby was 3 days old, her baby wasn't 1 day old, I was sleeping deeply. She took my baby and placed it by her, and she took her dead baby and placed it by me. I woke up to feed my baby, and I see he's dead. I waited till there was better light, I looked at him again, and I see, that's not my baby that I gave birth. And Charlotte yells out, and she says, no, my baby is alive, and your baby is the dead one. And Mary insists, and she says, no. Her baby's the dead one, and my baby's the live one, and they both stood there speaking before the king. And the king said, let's notice what's going on here. This woman saying, my baby's alive. Charlotte saying, my baby's alive, and your baby's dead. And Mary saying, no, your baby's dead, and my baby's alive. Notice, he's already noticing that Mary is stressing that her first point is, your baby's the dead one. And Charlotte is saying, for her first point is, my baby is the live one. Now, halachically, Shlomo didn't have to do much, because when Mary set up the case, Mary walked in and said, there's no one else around, and I woke up in the morning and I had a dead baby by me, and I claim she switched. Well, you know what the halacha says in such a case? The halacha says, you claim that I switched something of mine with yours, prove it. Mary herself is saying, there was no one around who could prove it, no one knows, and I woke up and I have the dead baby in my hands, she has the live baby, and I say she switched. Okay. You have a claim that something that she's holding is yours. Prove it. The halacha says that Mary, just by walking into court and saying things the way she said them, already lost the case. And Mary, in truth, is lying. But Shlomo wants to prove it to the people that he figured it out. Shlomo also notices that the way the woman describes it is problematic. Firstly, she tells him, my baby was 3 days old, and her baby was 1 day old. And she's telling details of the story. How does she know the details? How does she know that Charlotte slept, lay on the baby, killed it, and then switched it from her, if she's saying she slept through it all? How does she know all these details if she She herself is saying she slept through it all. Now, in truth, no one switched the baby. No baby was switched. But she's claiming this is what happened. And the last point she's claiming is, I could tell the difference between babies, because my baby was 3 days old and her baby was 1 day old. You guys are going to see, God willing, when you have children, when a baby's born, so his head is like a cone, like a Martian. And an hour after he's born, it starts going down. Hashem makes it this way, that the muscles in the head, the bones, they can form like this, they could go like this. And after birth, they all settle down. And the idea is that when a baby's plowing his way through the mother's womb to be born, so the head has to squeeze through. So Hashem made it that the head can really go like a jigsaw puzzle like this. And then after he's born, it flattens itself out. You'll see it. And if you don't get a picture an hour after birth, so you'll see that 2-3 hours later, it's less. And a day later, it's less. And 3 days later, it's less. So that's one of the signs, one of the differences you see about a baby. Another thing that evolves depending on how mature a baby's blood is that the umbilical cord starts drying up. But there are a lot of signs that you could see on a baby, the difference between 1 day old and 3 days old. So she claims, my baby was 3 days old, her baby was 1 day old, and I see the difference. This isn't my 3 day old baby. Now the problem is that she is also aware of, a baby changes when he's dead. She herself is saying time elapsed after the baby had died, that she woke up early in the morning, found him dead, and only later in the morning looked, took a close look and said, it's not my baby. So her story is filled with holes, but Shlomo wants to prove the point. So he tells them, bring me a sword, and they bring a sword before Shlomo the king. And Shlomo says, cut him in two, and give one half and the other one half. And Charlotte, whose baby was alive, she already had too much mercy, and she said, no, my master, give her the live baby and don't kill her, kill him. And the other one, Mary, she's saying, no, this is fair. I won't have, you won't have. That's fair. Cut away. And the king said, okay, give her the live baby, don't kill him. And everyone heard it, and that instilled fear in them, because they saw the wisdom that was within him, that he would be able to judge. And from here we derive an important rule in halacha, that sometimes we don't tell a person the exact story. There was a story, the Gemara quotes, that a woman came in with her daughter. Her daughter had lost her husband, and there was no children. So she has to do either Yibam or Chalitza. Now her brother-in-law wanted to marry her, so he wanted to do Yibam. So the rabbi told the girl, Yibam, marrying his sister-in-law when the brother died without children. So there's a special mitzvah in the Torah to marry the sister-in-law. So the rabbi told her, get up, let's do Yibam. And the mother said, no, for her sitting down is equal to getting up. So the rabbi said, you're telling me something here, you know something. So she says, yeah, she can't stand up. She's a cripple, she doesn't have feet. So for her, sitting is standing. And you know why her brother-in-law wants to marry her? Because she has money. He's not interested in her. He's going to divorce her a day after he takes all her money. So that's why she doesn't have to do Yibam. So the rabbi said, okay. So he turns to the guy and he says, now, if the guy would want to marry her, so he takes her and he marries her. And if he's not going to marry her, then she takes off his shoe and spits before him, and he said, and they say, this is what's done to a man who doesn't want to build his brother's house.
I heard that she spits in his face.
No. Not literally in his face, she spits before him. So the rabbi tells the guy, he wasn't a very learned person, he says, you want to marry her? Here's how it's done. She has to remove your shoes, spit before you, and we say this whole procession, and then she'll be your wife. So the guy says, okay, on with the show. She takes off his shoe, she spits. They finish the whole procession. The rabbi tells him, okay, now you can't marry her. You've just been disqualified. Now let's do chalitza all over again and have in mind that this is the way, because legally you can no longer marry her. She needs you to do it one more time in order to permit her to marry someone else. So we have a rule in halacha. Sometimes we do that. We derive it here from Shlomo. Shlomo knew that he had to play a trick in order to get the truth out. So Shlomo did. The Gemara says, let's say a person, he's being incarcerated improperly. The authorities decided to set him up. They put him in jail. And he manages to get out of jail, and he reaches the riverbanks, and the police are behind him. He hears the dogs barking, and he reaches a ship. He reaches a sailor, and the sailor's sitting there peeling a banana. And he says, you want me to take your cross, don't you? How much is it worth to you? I know you got money stashed away. And the guy says, what do you mean? You take $5 to take people across this river. And he says, yeah, I know. But there's a mighty nice banana. I don't have time now. So the guy says, okay, I'll give you 10. He says, no. He says, I'll give you $1,000. Now we're talking. Hop in, takes him across the river. Now he says, okay, pay me $1,000. So he says, no, I'm paying you $5. So he says, I'm taking you to court. So he says, okay, let's go to the rabbis. The halacha says that he has to pay him $5. He doesn't have to pay him $1,000. You can tell, Mishatei Tivach. I was fooling you. What do you mean? You always take people across for $5. You wanted to take advantage of my predicament to charge me $1,000. I don't have to pay you $1,000. I have to pay you what your labor is worth. Your labor was worth $5. That's what you always take for this job. Just because I was in a predicament doesn't mean you could take from me $1,000. So we say that an oral contract, when one is taking advantage of another's predicament, he has this halachic loophole that he could do it. So the rabbis applied in court too. There was once a guy who was, again, he wanted to do yibum, and it was an improper yibum. He just wanted to do it to take the woman. He wanted to marry her, but he was a low life, and it wasn't befitting for her to marry him. So the rabbis told him, do chalitza and we'll pay you $200, 200 zuz. He says, for 200 zuz, no problem. They do chalitza and then he says, okay, pay up. So they say, we were just kidding. So what do you mean you were just kidding? You promised me 200 zuz. So we learned from Shlomo, we don't always have to play by the rules. Shlomo said, we're cutting the baby in half. They weren't going to cut the baby in half. But by saying we're cutting the baby in half, he got the side to admit to the truth. When we offer a guy $200 and he says, for $200 I won't marry the girl, what's he saying? I'm not marrying her for the right reasons. I'm marrying her for whatever reason there is. Maybe I want to inherit her. Maybe I want her to do my dishes. I'm not marrying her for the mitzvah of Yibum in the Torah. I'm not marrying her. She'll be my good servant. So then we say, okay. So then we just use this to bring it to playing by the rules. And we ended the third chapter tonight. We'll pick up from there next week.